My dearest friends, I am honored to once again welcome you all to today's sermon. If we were to look out into the endless expanse of the galaxy, we would inevitably come across a vast range of factions, each of which has developed a unique society over the long years of their existence. Due to the unimaginable horrors which lurk within the void, many of these cultures will revolve around following a particular structure which has been built up to shield their civilization from whatever devils may indeed come to endanger them. But even though most factions will follow with a similar system, there are perhaps none who live in a more rigid nor fixed societal framework than of the enigmatic and mysterious Eldari. The ancient void dwellers once ruled over the galaxy as its undisputed masters. However, through hubris and decadence, their great empire collapsed, leaving them in a forlorn state of isolation where they cling to survival out in the lightless abyss. In order to best preserve their near-extinct race, those aboard the Titanic craft worlds have formed a stringent method of controlling the whims and desires of their kin, who still each harbor the potential of causing a second fall of their withered species. This would be known as the Path system, and though it has undoubtedly proven itself as being of great benefit to the surviving Eldari, there still exists a select few of their species who have chosen to abandon its inflexible direction, and these individuals would be known as the Outcasts. Even though most aboard the craft worlds will follow along with their duty with a grim sense of stoicism, some of the younger and more fiery of their kin will refuse to be tied down to such a rigid framework, and so they will set out into the inky depths of space to carve out their own destinies and to shape the void in their own image. Once an Eldari has pledged themselves to an outcasted existence, there is almost no limit to what they may achieve or to where they may travel. And so, with this wide range in mind, I do believe that today we should investigate the full potential of the Outcasts. We will first provide an overview to their existence, exploring their reasoning behind setting out on their own, and of why they may have been so keen to stray from their kin. After this, we will go into more detail on perhaps the most infamous route which may be taken for these wayward souls, and it would relate to their desire in becoming none other than of a marauding corsair. But now, my friends, with our topic in mind, let us move on from this introduction and turn our gaze out into the void to learn of the Eldari who have chosen to follow with the path of the Outcast. Deep within the Stygian gloom of the cosmos, far from the soothing light of a parental star, we will find the final remaining vestiges of the Eldari species, clinging to life aboard colossal ships known as craft worlds. There is to be no warmth nor unfound optimism to be held within these isolated jewels of a bygone age. And instead, their incumbent surviving populace has been forced to adapt their lives in such a way that praises perseverance and sustentation over all else. But the Eldari did not always exist in such a pitiful state. Eons ago, they had arisen to claim the mantle of dominance over the entirety of the cosmos, with there being none who could dare oppose their ascendant rule. Such was the scale of their growth and flourishment within the stars that they were successful in bringing their civilization to heights of power which have been almost completely unmatched to this very day. They had conquered not only the very stars themselves, but also the mysterious labyrinth of the webway, which allowed them to connect near each and every world held under their thumb. Unfortunately, however, with their blossoming power came great hubris. The Eldari, unopposed by any other species, were left in a place bereft of purpose. They had spent an unfathomable time fighting through the prior conflict known as the War in Heaven, and we may only speculate as to how long it took for them to consolidate their rule over the galaxy in the preceding years. But now, in this time of peace, it seemed that they were somewhat lost. With there being no enemies who could possibly stand against them, and without any form of grand driving mission to be found within the stars, their kind quickly fell to the ways of debauchery and degeneracy. It became incredibly common for the Eldari to spend their days simply seeking out ever more depraved and darker forms of excessive pleasure to fill their time with, and yet their gluttonous appetites could never be fully sated. Being a species which was so psychically sensitive, it was inevitable for the psychic energies generated from their acts of debauchery to eventually create an inescapable ripple within the warp. This errant buildup of immaterial psychic power was allowed to develop for so long that the currents soon began to meld and culminate into a singular entity who was known only as Slaanesh. This being was destined to be born as the fourth Chaos God, and from their great formative cry came the downfall of the Eldari. Billions of bright Eldari souls were devoured in an instant by She Who Thirsts, utterly devastating their civilization to such a degree that it would never again be able to reclaim its prior heights. With all this being said, before this climactic end, some of the Eldari had already become disgusted by the depraved acts being performed by their kin, and they did not wish to coexist with a group who seemingly had no cares for anything beyond their next thrill. As such, these few decided to enact a great departure from their ancient societies, choosing to leave for either the previously seeded maiden worlds or to the vast craft worlds. For the past 10,000 years, the bulk of the Eldari within the galaxy have lived upon these titanic void ships, and yet their new society in no way mirrors their old ways. In order to prevent an event as cataclysmic as the Great Fall from occurring again, they were forced to develop a system which could guide their species away from the ever-present temptations to be found within the depths of their souls. This strict code became known as the Path of the Asuriani, and it has likely been the driving force behind the perseverance of their race for all these years. It exists as an all-encompassing way of life which dictates the tenets and attitudes which every Eldari should abide by, and also of the role that they will follow within their society. Within this system, an Asuriani may choose a path for themselves to follow. But no matter which route they eventually take, each option has been formulated in such a way that it will greatly benefit their wider craft world society. Though it is indeed effective in curtailing the stray desires of their species, we must acknowledge that it is an incredibly rigid and inflexible system, which leaves very little space for one to be adventurous or free. Because of this, some Eldar who do not wish to live their lives in the adherence to such a singular, specific rule set may grow rather discordant with life upon a craft world, and so they will muse of a more varied and independent way of life out in the boundless reach of the cosmos. Just as with any other species, the Eldari in their youth will often find more of a fire within their hearts, which can often develop into feeling slightly more rebellious or headstrong in their attitudes. Quite obviously, these emotions will not mix particularly well with the path system, since it exists to entrench the ideals of patience, temperance, and control within their minds. But for the individuals who find this Asuriani lifestyle as being incompatible with their own, then they will not be cursed to live out their days in an unsatisfactory role. Any aboard the craft worlds will be free to leave their safe place of stability, to forge out a new destiny as an outcast. All will acknowledge that the path system cannot accommodate for the desires of freedom or independence, and so there will be no dishonor to be found from one who chooses to abscond from this way of life. In actual fact, so prevalent is the desire to leave on one's own will that the Eldari have somewhat integrated the path of the outcast within the greater system of the Asuriani. Though it does exist outside of the usual framework, they understand that oftentimes this independent path is a necessary one to be taken, as it will provide something of an escape route for those who are overwhelmingly displeased with their lives. If a rebellious Eldar was not permitted to leave, then they may simply become too enraged at the limitations of their existence, leading to them delving into the forbidden path of damnation, from where there will likely be no salvation. As such, this path of the outcast is to be permitted. And though none will know of when an adventurous Eldar may return, they will always be welcomed back with open arms if they so desire to. It is thought that after traveling through the galaxy for many years, learning of its great and mysterious secrets, that eventually the young soul will realize that the ways of the Asuriani were in fact true, and so they will abandon their self-forged lives to return home and share of their tales with the rest of their family. As it so happens, most outcasts will eventually come to this realization, and their return is seen as a most fortuitous event to the wider craft world. The individual will have brought with them a wealth of treasures, stories, and rumors of the wider galaxy, helping to keep the rather insular Eldari societies abreast with the events of the Void. At this point, they will take up a new path, reintegrating themselves within the craft world once more, having enriched the Eldari with their adventures and sating their own desire for wanderlust. I should note here that although many will leave as an outcast on their own terms, there are some who are forced to depart as they risk endangering the safety of their homes. Once an Eldari begins to walk the path of damnation, they will be seen as near unforgivable traitors to the craft world. And in these cases, the individual will be banished in the hopes that some time away will help them to come to terms with their detestable actions. This, however, very rarely works as intended. The outcasted Eldari, filled with their own feelings of betrayal, will invariably find their way to the dark city of Komorag. And at this point, the rest of their existence will be damned to one of torturous evil. Rather unfortunately, even if an Eldari outcast leaves on their own terms, then this can also be a fate which befalls them. Out on their travels with none to watch over them, it is not unheard of for an outcast to perform dark deeds without a care for the damage that it brings to their own souls. If this progresses into a horrifying habit, then they too will be drawn to the dark city, and they will likely fall in with a cabal, living the rest of their lives as a warrior in service to the Archons. This is not the only danger which exists for an outcast. During their time away from a craft world, the Eldari will quickly find themselves in a rather dire situation. Their species is one which is incredibly sensitive to the flowing tides of the warp, and so their own souls will shine as a phosphorescent beacon to the foul demons of the Immaterium, who will seek for nothing but the consumption of their very being. As a result of this, for an outcast to survive for several years, then this must mean that they have developed methods to avoid the ever-gnawing threats of the warp, as those who possess a weaker constitution will unfortunately likely succumb to the demonic entities which hunt them. The outcasts who can successfully navigate the horrific dangers of the galaxy will simply wander, carving out their own adventure as they move from planet to planet and from star system to star system. They may choose to visit the worlds of alien species, watching them from afar, to learn of how these primitive societies have developed over the years. It is not unheard of for outcasts to even explore imperial worlds, where they will observe the relatively young and brutish colonies of mankind. If well disguised, and Eldari may even be able to walk through the busy slums and streets of a hive city, where they will explore and take in the curious cultures of humanity. During their long journey, it is somewhat inevitable for an outcast to eventually visit an exodite world. These maiden planets were terraformed by the ancient Eldari to create a perfected habitat for their species, and they have since been colonized and inhabited by the groups known as exodites. In some ways, we could consider these individuals as being outcasts themselves, where they have chosen to live a more simple and humble life of labor, far away from the technological gluttony of the craft worlds. The nomadic exodites will always welcome a new outcast with open arms, and they will learn much of the changing state of the galaxy from their newfound compatriot. Some may even find that the life of the exodites resonates with them to such a degree that they will choose to stay upon the maiden world, settling down to join as an exodite for the rest of their long lives. There are also some outcasts who have chosen to leave on their wandering path, primarily for the benefit of the craft world, rather than to satisfy their own adventurous spirit. These would be none other than the Rangers, who will travel the galaxy to scout out the various threats and dangers which may eventually come to impact a craft world. They will remain fiercely loyal to their kin, but the Asuriani way of life is simply not one which is compatible with their souls, and so they will simply travel through the abyssal stars, only returning to share valuable information or to contribute their strength towards the defense of their craft world-dwelling compatriots. One of the more common paths for an outcast will be to join with a fleet of the infamous Corsairs, where they will commit to seizing their power from any who cannot effectively defend themselves. These great pirate armadas will sail through the cosmos, raiding vulnerable trade routes and isolated worlds, plundering what they can before slipping back into the void, unscathed from the primitives who lacked in the ability to deter the enigmatic attackers. Life as a Corsair can often be too enticing for an outcast to ever consider leaving, and as such, some of the largest and most well-known of pirate bands have endured for thousands of years, with new outcasted recruits ever flocking to join in their marauding cause. Though these are some of the most common destinations for the outcasts, there are some who only ever aspired towards the singular goals of freedom and exploration. These Eldari will not be content to pass their days upon an exodite world, or even to fly within a Corsair fleet, and instead they will wish to venture out into the unknown to discover secrets lost to all in the inky abyss. They may charter their personal crafts out into intergalactic space to seek local anomalies, or even to sail into treacherous warp storm ravaged regions of the galaxy where no mortal has dared to tread for eons. But space itself is not the only realm to be charted. Those who perhaps hold a death wish may indeed choose to venture into the warp itself, oftentimes aiming to find the ancient crone worlds of the old Eldari Empire, where they will seek out artifacts and treasures from their fallen civilization. Other outcasts may similarly sail through forgotten webway gates to explore the shattered labyrinth in the hopes that they may find some secretive vestige to explore and claim. Perhaps the greatest of treasures to be found within the webway would be of the secretive location of the Black Library, where it is said that the laughing god Segorach lurks, ever dancing and taunting the seductive prince of pleasure out in the chaos of the warp. With all that I have said, undoubtedly the most infamous path which an outcast may take would be that of the corsair. These would be the most fiery and wild of all outcasts, who are more desperate for a life of excitement and adventure over anything else. Whilst one individual corsair may be somewhat limited in what they may achieve whilst alone, when hundreds or even thousands of them band together, then there is truly no limit to the havoc they may wreak. In brief, corsairs may be seen as celestial pirates, sailing through the blackness of space on their highly modified starships, all in the pursuit of glory and plunder. They have committed themselves to raiding, pillaging, and stealing from galactic trade routes, industrial planets, or undefended treasure troves, where they will always descend to take their due before silently disappearing into the void of space once more. Such is the extent of their free spirit, and so brightly does their adventurous temperament shine, that many of the senior craft worlders will fear that the attitudes of the corsairs exists as a dark lure set to tempt and sway the younger Eldari away from the stoic path of the Asuriani if they learn of the existence of these pirates. As such, contact between the corsair fleets and craft worlds is far more limited when compared to any of the other branches of outcast. However, as we will soon discuss, this does not mean that they are destined to never encounter one another. As stated, the corsairs tend to consist of some of the most ferociously independent of Eldari, and these attitudes will inevitably rub off onto the new recruits who decide to fall in with a raiding band. Even if an outcast left a craft world whilst feeling fairly rash or reckless, this is nothing compared to the tendencies of the corsairs, and as they spend more and more time with the new fleet, then they will typically find their dispositions and general attitudes to shift further and further away from that of a craft worlder. Corsairs tend to be far more unpredictable in their responses to certain challenges, typically being far more open to committing an outright slaughter of their opponents when compared to their Asuriani following kin. This is also highlighted by the fact that the corsairs will happily act as mercenaries throughout the galaxy, where they will accept payments from any and all clients, no matter their disposition or goal. They will readily side with a Drukhari raiding force or a traitorous planetary governor of the Imperium, so long as they do indeed pay their required fee. As a result of this, however, the corsairs have reinforced the view from mankind that the Eldar are naught but vile raiders, and it has even led towards many to simply assume that the corsairs exist as a subsect of the foul Drukhari. It does not help that the corsairs are particularly opportunistic, and so once a battle has been won, they may simply turn upon their patrons to attack them and plunder even more of the spoils of war if they feel that they will be victorious. Because of this, it does in fact seem to be a great risk for any to decide to hire out these renegade pirates, and if one is to seek them out, then they must be prepared to potentially fight off the rogues themselves. With that being said, however, the corsairs are still Eldari at heart, and so they will often be found fighting alongside their craft world or Exodite cousins during treacherous conflicts. Famously, Prince Iriel, who is perhaps the most well-known of corsairs within the galaxy, led his pirate fleet to the defense of craft world Iandan, where he personally felled the commanding Hive Tyrant at the head of the invasion. Though he is still at odds with the views and goals of the seers who guide Iandan, this is not something which would ever prevent him from coming to the aid of his kin during the darkest of times. Similarly, if an exodite world finds itself under siege from a terrible external threat, then the corsairs will be some of the first to pledge their fleets towards the defense of these humble communities. Their denizens are often rather under-equipped to fend off an entire planetary invasion. And so the approach of a large corsair fleet will often be the deciding factor to bring victory to the Eldari. Unfortunately, however, not every interaction between the corsairs and craft worlds will be as positive as this. It has been observed that craft worlds have previously declared war on selected pirate bands in the hopes of utterly eliminating them from the face of the galaxy. Typically, this seems to be done as a response to prevent an estranged fleet from falling to the ways of the Drukhari, as it has been noted that many Archons will routinely attempt to sway the Corsair fleets into fully committing themselves towards the path of damnation. This tension is only exacerbated by the fact that many of the Corsair fleets will regularly visit the dark city of Komorah for work, where they will seek out new trade routes to plunder, or to simply do business with the nefarious merchants found in the Undercity. Whilst docked, the Corsairs will be free to explore the shrouded corners of this realm, taking in the many depraved pleasures which are always on offer to paying customers. Here, they may even meet with Drukhari who wish to join in with their pirate band. And we can be sure that if a Corsair fleet has a large retinue of dark Eldari traveling with them, then they will invariably have some form of warped influence over the views of the marauding outcasts. Moving away from the dark potential held within the Corsair bands, let us now explore their organization, firstly by looking at their leadership. Each fleet is led by a prince or princess, who is accompanied by a cohort of advisors and captains, known as barons. These titles have been carried over as a remaining vestige of the old noble structure to be found within the archaic Eldari Empire. Though it may seem arrogant for a pirate to carry a title of nobility, if they are indeed descendants of an ancestral noble house, then it allows them to inspire a great deal of loyalty and pride amongst the other corsairs. Some of the princes or princesses may indeed be facetious in their royal claim, but we must admit that there are still some who will be able to trace a direct lineage back to the nobles who ruled during the ancient days of their lofty empire. Each leader will have a retinue of blade-sworn warriors who will accompany them wherever they go on their travels. They are some of the finest of bladesmen and women to be found throughout the galaxy, sometimes being sought out by the noble leader, who will petition them to join their crew with promises of plunder and glory should they agree. There is also found to be some semblance of honor for a bladesworn to pledge themselves towards a true noble prince or princess, and so being able to prove their royal lineage will indeed be beneficial in gaining allies. The ships of the Corsair fleets are piloted by void dreamers, who are incredibly skilled psykers, oftentimes being comprised of Eldar who followed along the path of the seer before deciding to leave the craft world as an outcast. They will use their unmatched skills of divination and farsight to peer into the chaos of the warp, from where they will direct the great vessels to sail through calmer passages, keeping the crews safe from the prying claws of immaterial demons who would readily devour the souls of each and every outcast on board. So important are their abilities that Corsair warbands will go to incredible lengths to recruit erudite void dreamers, even going so far as to go to war with one another, purely in the hopes that the surviving dreamer will be amenable to joining with their own fleet. Each Corsair band will be subdivided and split into smaller groups known as coteries, each of which will be led by one of the royal nobles, be it of the prince or princess, or of one of their loyal barons. In some ways, A coterie may be seen as something of a functional raiding party for the Corsair band. And it will consist of several squads of Corsair warriors who are each supported by specialist veterans and skimming vehicles. On the eve of a conflict, the prince or princess will form a squad known as the Void Storm, which will be made up of his blade-sworn retinue and of some of his most veteran warriors from within the fleet. They will be destined to act as the vanguard to an attack, being the first to plunge into battle, bringing the fury of the free Eldari with their advanced weaponry and time-worn skill set. Behind them will be the bulk of the forces, organized in the prior mentioned coteries, some of which will have been specialized towards a specific art of war. Many will choose to jettison themselves into battle atop skimmers and jet bikes, whilst others will be more equipped for traversing a battlefield on foot, carrying all manner of weapons and breaching tools to plunder whatever loot they can find. The most skilled and experienced of warriors will come together to form a unit known as the Void Scarred. These elite outcasts will have traveled the stars as a corsair for centuries, constantly honing their skill set to a point where they are nearly unmatched in the fine arts of combat. Furthermore, due to being tested time and time again, their reaction speeds will have been elevated to a near supernatural level, being considered impressively quick even by other Eldari. These units are rather infamous amongst the Corsairs, with their souls having been hardened from the untold years of galactic travel, and they will have surely been forced to commit ruthless, brutal acts simply to keep themselves alive and well-funded all the while. My dearest friends, this shall now bring us to our end. It would be near impossible for us to know exactly how many outcasted Eldar are currently roaming out through the stars. However, they are undoubtedly continuing to make an everlasting mark upon the face of the galaxy. Some may indeed choose to settle down as an exodite upon a maiden world, spending their days in the pursuit of humble labor, reaping the salubrious bounty which only nature itself can bring. Others will choose to wander as a ranger, scouting out the horrors which lurk in the darkness of space, all so that the craft worlds may remain safe from their danger. Existing as a corsair, meanwhile, will provide an outcast with the opportunity to plunder from the weak and to strengthen their own position within the warband, garnering themselves with glory and pride for their actions. Others, however, will simply stay as true outcasts, setting out in their vessel to explore the dark depths of space in the hopes that they will discover the secrets of the galaxy on their own personal adventure. There are some outcasts, however, who have abandoned the craft worlds not to follow in these routes, nor to even join with the Drukhari. But instead, they seek to pledge themselves to the growing movement of the Yinari. They have heard the call of the former Corsair Princess Yvraine, and they can see no greater mission than of the goal to bring forth the lost Eldari god of the dead, Inead. These pathless Eldar have typically been shunned by their craft world-dwelling kin, but only time will tell if their objective is ultimately accomplished. But regardless, I do hope that you are now in a better position to understand the wayward lives of the Eldari outcasts. I must thank each and every one of you for listening to this story in its entirety, and I hope that you each enjoyed the tales of these enigmatic wanderers. But my friends, just like with the outcasts, it is now time for me to depart. I thank you again for listening, but I now must wish you all goodbye.